97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Nothing like a little steel guitar to get you off to a party,
yeah.
Right? Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. So glad you are with us. Mark Cox in here along with the Bo Matthews and our producer, Carl Middleman.
Hi.
Yeah, good stuff. And what a fantastic week we've had weather-wise. I could just take that forever. Couldn't you, Bo?
Absolutely. I've been splitting as much firewood as possible with the increase of the fuel prices going up everywhere around the globe. I'm like, you know what? I'm staying warm this winter.
You are a smart man. I'm telling you what. You are self-contained with your wood stove. Is that correct? Pretty much?
Yeah. You know what? We can heat with just the fireplace. Our electric bill really drops quite a bit in the wintertime. We use the electric for AC, of course, but in the wintertime, my wife likes it so warm that the peanut butter in the cabinet is soft and melty.
Wow.
And we
can
accomplish that.
You can stand that?
Yeah, that's why I'm 114 pounds now. My leg is 114 pounds.
I like having the house a little bit on the cool side. But regardless, I think it's fantastic that you have that option, though. Because, you know, prices are going up. You can do a little bit of a sore back and you've got all the wood you need, right?
Yeah. And, you know, years ago, the EPA had changed the rulings on, and I don't know all the specifics, but they had changed the rulings on wood burning stoves and wood burning furnaces. Well, that has all just been thrown out as of June. And so if you've been thinking, oh, I want to buy a wood burning stove or something, and you're thinking, no, that's not the model I want. That all those restrictions have left, and now you are going to start seeing some really cool models moving out onto the floor of your local farm store or whatever, so you can heat with wood. I mean, to me, everybody has dead trees if you have property. There's free firewood right there. You just got to put a little work into it, like
yeah.
I try and do.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point.
Did you happen to see the new 1911 double barrel?
I have not.
What? Are you serious?
Where do they have this?
Okay, well, I saw Colleen Noir, who I've challenged Carl Middleman to get on our show. He's a well-known Second Amendment supporter, and he actually did out in his range a display of what this is. It's got two triggers, but it all fires one, you know, set of hammers, and the shells go flying out either way because, you know, it's a semi-automatic. This thing is amazing. It's big. You got a big paws. But it's melded together. It's almost like it's morphed into two guns in one.
So you get double the capacity?
Yeah, and you got to shoot both shells come out at the same time.
But it's a 45.
It is.
Be heavy, sure.
It's a lot to hang on
yeah,
to.
No kidding.
Check it out.
I love my 1911. That's one of my favorite sidearms. Just a classic look. I love carrying that thing.
Picture it as a double wide.
Ah. A double wide. Now I'm never going to look at it the same. Wow.
You're just a single wide.
You know, one time this week on Second Amendment 2A Tuesday, which is what I do on my show on Tuesday mornings, we had the story on Bo about using your credit card to purchase firearms and how the left has pressured these big woke credit card companies to start coding those purchases so they can track if you're buying firearms or not. We have developed a gun registration under the radar system in the United States of America.
By going through the money changers. I think Visa was the first one to start this, right? And you know, this is the scary part, and that's why we have this show on the radio. So we can talk about just what you brought up, 2A Tuesday and Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. In the UK, if they ban a firearm, if they were to ban an AR, they already have every firearm registered and who it is. And so they give you 60 days or whatever when they cancel some item or some firearm. They just say you have to surrender it within 60 days, or guess what? You're now a felon. That's where other parts of the world are. We're not there yet, but man, it seems like the movement is there, and it just is not right.
In a lot of the software that people use for these banks, if you do your banking online, you can go in and track how you've been spending money, and it will generally tell you if you have been spending it at the grocery store or on gasoline or whatever the case may be. So what they've done is pressure these companies to put in a code that would tell them that you've spent X amount of dollars at a firearms store. Now, it may not specifically say what you bought, but for some reason, they seem to think this is some way to impact crime. And, Bo, it gets back to the fact that these morons don't understand that criminals don't go to licensed gun dealers and buy guns using credit cards. These are not the bad guys. But that doesn't seem to penetrate their thick skulls. It's offensive. And I hope we get a change in administration, or at least in Congress, where we can go in and have an impact on this.
I would like to see that diagram on your credit card, you know, kind of like the one that Ameren sends out for your electric. You know, your AC is using this much, your refrigerator is using this much. If they show the gas, the restaurants, other online shopping, you know what? There's going to be an increase in people buying their firearms and their ammo and accessories at farm stores, because you can do that.
Yeah, that's true. And paying cash. I mean, here's another good reason. If I go to the right. ATM and take out $400 in cash, they have no idea what I'm spending it on. So the code is ATM. So there you have it. There's your solution.
But it's the creep. It's creeping in little by little, and that's the frightening part. And you know, I just saw a video. Another challenge to Carl Mittleman, a guy that was an expert on how much ammo you should have, you know, in your possession. Carl, you are working on that, right?
We'll talk off the air.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Uh-oh, I've been scolded. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. You sent an email with nothing in it.
That's not true.
Okay.
Anyway. So a couple of challenges. I've been scolded by him, but see, this is how it rolls downhill, because we are going to be talking with his wife, who scolds him on a regular basis, I'm sure, very soon.
That's true. Like I'm at home right now.
She's going to be coming up a little later talking about Constitution Week. But right now, oftentimes we think of the 4th of July as the time for the big fireworks celebrations. But we're fortunate enough in the greater St. Louis area to have a huge fireworks event that's basically a competition among people who are complete fireworks geeks.
Yep.
And they know things and they do things with fireworks that the average user just cannot hardly comprehend.
It's so cool.
And you have an opportunity coming up here.
Next weekend
to see this. And it's actually called Sky Wars. And we want you to find out a little bit more about it right now with our friend Rob Sima.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
We are talking about fireworks, and we're welcoming back Rob Sima, who's vice president of the Missouri Pyrotechnics Association. Rob, how are you?
I'm great. It's glad to be back.
We want to talk about Sky Wars. Now, I think we had you on right before this last fall. It is September 24th this year. Tell us more about it. Out near where?
Outside of Innsbruck. Yeah, we're partnered with the developers of Innsbruck on this project. It's our 17th annual fireworks championship, and it's, you know, it's basically the United States fireworks championship. We have crews coming in from around the country, you know, Texas, Maryland, Las Vegas, Florida. These are the best choreographers in the United States. And there's two divisions this year. In the past, we've had one division for years, and we've actually been able to up the event. So the first part is what we call the pro-am competition. It's like stock car racing. We take the best choreographers. We say you can only use the kinds of things you can get in a tent. It's consumer fireworks. Of course, they've got firing systems and 3D modeling systems to come up with their shows. And so they'll do three shows that do a competition. Then we have a pro division. That's new this year. So these are the big ones. So, you know, we shoot up to 12-inch shells at Sky Wars. Down under the arch, you're only going to see 8s and 10s. So we actually bigger shells than they have down at the arch on the 4th of July. So they'll have a competition. And then our big, you know, the thing we're known for is fireballs. I think we might have talked about that a little bit last year. The fireball dudes from Memphis are back, and they're the world record holder for the largest gasoline fireball. And this year at SkyWars, they're going to go for a new record. So they're going to shoot 1,300 gallons of gas in about 20 seconds. And it'll be hot, and it'll be spectacular.
Well, it sounds fantastic. So is there a real, I mean, like, do you guys rib each other? Do mine's going to be better than yours kind of things? Or, I mean, does the competition go like that? Or
There's
do you all pretty much know what to expect?
Trash talking. It's encouraged. We encourage trash talking.
This is a family-friendly event?
It is. We have, you know, during the day, there's a kids' zone, so they can come out. There's inflatables. There's, you know, a number of things that the kids can do in the kids' area during the day. There's a band that'll be playing from 3 to 7 in the afternoon, so come out and then make a day of it. We have 20 to 25 food trucks. Come have dinner. It's a nice night in the fall when it's a lot cooler than it is right now, and spend some time outside with your family.
Well, I hope people go check out the website, SkyWarsEvent.com, SkyWarsEvent.com, just to say that. Is there a fee? I assume you have to have tickets to get in, because there's no way putting all this on can be inexpensive.
Yeah, last year we had about 10,000 people there. So luckily that we take all the money and we just put it in the fireworks. And then we also have a nonprofit, Wags and Whiskers, that we support. That's a no-kill animal shelter out there in Warren County.
Oh, nice.
$40 for general admission. I think we have a few VIP tickets left. Those are $160. So that's all you can eat and drink, for the day as well, and some nice amenities.
Outstanding. So it's at Innsbrook, and I hope people will go online and check it out, SkyWarsEvent.com.
The one thing I'll warn you, if you do come to SkyWars, it'll ruin you for fireworks for the rest of your life. Those 4th of July shows will not be any good.
I was telling you before, Mark, I'm not a big fireworks guy. You know, like, you go down to Disney and they have everything with the music and the stuff. The only fireworks show that has ever impressed me was, one, was a Star Wars themed one. And two was the one that Rob did at his daughter's high school, where my daughter used to be. It was impressive. I'm like, wow, this guy's good.
Yeah.
And it was thank you, Rob, because you made it work for me.
So Rob, do you take requests? Because I'm sure let me guess. Carl has requested a firework that blows up and looks like Darth Vader.
Not yet. I haven't heard that request yet.
It's
I actually
coming.
Saw one that looked like a foot the other day. I don't know what that was all about. It was a foot with toes. I thought, well, there you go.
That's funny. Hey, Rob, good luck this summer. We appreciate you and the SkyWarsEvent.com. Hope people check it out, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great to be here.
All right. Stick around on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We are going to have the better half of our executive producer, Nicole Middleman. She is part of the Daughters of the American Revolution. We're going to talk about Constitution Week, which starts this weekend on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there.
The first part of the Constitution is called the Preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare at hand, secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Feel like I'm back in fifth grade history class there, Carl. Nice.
I feel like
Saturday morning cartoons.
6 years old again watching Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, no kidding. Good for them. Mark Cox here along with Bo Matthews, Second Amendment Radio, and the Great Outdoors.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew. What's up? Yeah, you know, it's fun because we're coming up on celebrating that. It's Constitution Week, and we want to make sure we get to our guest here. Very important guest. Head of the better half of the Middleman household, Nicole Middleman, is on the phone with us this morning from the Daughters of the American Revolution. Nicole, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for making time to speak with me today. And I am with the O'Fallon chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution here in St. Louis.
So, Nicole, what do you guys do, or what do you ladies do, excuse me, what do you ladies do generally throughout the year?
Well, the Daughters of the American Revolution is a patriotic women's organization, and we're more than 190,000 members strong in 3,000 chapters across the country and across our country and several foreign countries. And what we do is actively promote historic preservation, education, and patriotism. And we do this through commemorative events, scholarships, education initiatives, citizenship programs. And one of my favorite things is that a lot of people don't know, Memorial Continental Hall and Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C. are owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution. And that is the largest group of buildings in the world independently owned and maintained by women.
Wow. So like when you go there, do you get like the super secret tour?
It's not so secret.
Oh, it's not.
We give that tour when we promote it. We share it. But yes, yes. And we're very proud of it.
Oh, well, you should be. I mean, that's just fantastic. Well, I guess my next question before we get into Constitution Week and all that is, do you have to bring your papers to prove your connection if you join the Daughters of the American Revolution? Do you have to bring some sort of genealogy proof that you have some connection to someone?
Well, we don't bring it with us typically to a meeting, but to join the organization and to be a member, you do need to prove lineage to a U.S. patriot from the Revolution. Yes.
Wow. And your connection, Nicole, is to who?
I have three. I have Obadiah Taylor and Adoniah Taylor and Conrad Krieger out of Massachusetts and Maryland.
Wow.
And Obadiah Taylor is also related to whom else?
The Taylors are related to former President Zachary Taylor.
There you have it.
Wow. And how did you find that out? Or is this just family stories that have made it through to you? Or was it one of these 23andMe things?
Oh, no. It is genealogy. And my grandparents were very, very active and very, very conscious of our heritage and our ancestry. And it wasn't positioned as optional to know.
Yeah,
they made sure. You know what? They made sure that family came first, and you know where you came from. Long before 23andMe, I had grandparents that made sure I knew where I came from.
Yeah, I've got relatives who claim that we're related to Pocahontas, but I guess that wouldn't do me any good, would it?
I've got a weird Uncle Larry everybody talks about in our family. That's it, though.
And every family has two sides.
Yeah.
You're going to be related to somebody. And I think if you go back far enough, we're all connected in some way.
Yeah, that's probably very true. Well, I think it's pretty cool that organization exists and all the great stuff to preserve our history. Let's talk about Constitution Week, though, for a minute. And what does DAR do to drive this? I mean, is this like getting involved in school programs or something else nationwide?
Well, DAR actually founded Constitution Week. In 1955, our president general at the time, Gertrude Carraway, adopted a project to promote the observance of the Constitution, and she used a memorial week beginning on the anniversary of the signing of the document on September 17, 1787, as the day to launch this. And that is how it began. The Congress received the resolution in June. The resolution was discussed by the Senate, and they decided to observe a whole week instead of just a Constitution Day. And then following the passage of that resolution, it was such a success that they introduced a resolution that it would be made an annual event. And after that, it was signed into public law in 1956. But what we know of it today was actually signed by Dwight D. Eisenhower, who signed it into law that there'd be an annual celebration dedicated to commemorating our Constitution because it's such an important document of our American history.
Absolutely. A living, breathing document. Nicole Middleman is our guest. She's from the National Society, Daughters of the American Revolution. So I'd like to pick your brain as far as, you know, throughout the year and throughout the decades where we hear of the climate of, you know, colleges and schools and the indoctrination. Do you feel pushback from either the educators or the leaders as you're trying to, you know, keep talking about the Constitution in your experience?
From my own experience, I've been the Constitution Week chairman locally for my chapter for many, many years, and I have found exactly the opposite. When I go to school, I've gone to city schools, I've gone to several private schools, and they welcome the understanding. Is it a history lesson for all of our students? This is a bipartisan document. This is for every citizen. And as citizens, it's our responsibility to celebrate and keep our ancestors' legacy alive. So I have actually found the opposite is true. They want students to learn the history of our country and these foundational documents that are so integral to who we are as Americans.
Yeah, it's a great point, Nicole. I really wish there was more emphasis on it in schools. You know, what did I read the other day that they had, you know, like, for example, the state of Texas. I have some friends from Texas. To graduate from high school in Texas, you have to pass a test about Texas history. It's required. Now, obviously, we have American history courses through the course of our you know, primary, secondary education. But I think every student graduating from high school should have to be able to pass a basic test regarding the United States Constitution. We don't require that. I was at the ballpark the other night, and they actually had some people, immigration, naturalization, where they're doing a naturalization ceremony.
Did a video just for them.
Well, and it was fantastic. But, you know, I'll bet you the majority of those folks who had to actually study for that test know more than the average American. And that's kind of a sad testament.
I think you may be correct. But we used to have that. When I was in school, we had a civics class, and that we spent like a month studying some of these things that now, or for the Constitution, that they don't. I don't think it is required anymore in the same way. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. And our current president general for the national organization is from Texas. And would love to. And our Texas daughters are very, very proud of their Texas heritage.
I'll bet they are.
And I think there needs to be some kind of test for everybody that votes, actually. That's
me part. Good, yeah.
Well, I mean, is that wrong? I think you do. You know, it's amazing. I actually was this many years old when I learned that many of the founding fathers were younger than 40 years old in 1776. That is just amazing to me.
A couple of them in their 20s.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Well, the life expectancy at that time was a little bit younger as well. So they did a lot more sooner.
Well, it's true.
That is true.
Yeah. So Constitution Week, the 17th through the 23rd officially. And take time out to have a conversation with your kids about it. I think that's important. Parents can play a bigger role in this as well, right, Nicole?
Absolutely. And in 2022, we're recognizing the 67th anniversary of Constitution Week. And there's many, many ways that people can recognize this. Number one, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, that's unconstitutional or that's my constitutional right. A lot of Americans believe that sayings and phrases are in our Constitution that really aren't. So one way to commemorate it is to actually read it and become better informed and responsible citizens.
No way! Shocking.
What a concept. Yeah, that's great stuff. Thanks for being such a great American. And so if somebody wanted to join the organization, they need to know that they are related to a significant patriot or patriot's family. Is that right?
From the American Revolution. Yes, that is correct.
Honey, what is the website, please?
The website for more information about the organization is dar.org.
Outstanding.
Okay. Yeah. How else can Americans help out?
Americans can help out by talking to their local government representatives about issuing a proclamation about Constitution Week. Personally, I've set up displays in local libraries and make an effort to reach out to other people who want to know about it and just share what I know personally. And we ask school principals in the community to issue school proclamations and encourage them to offer the study of the Constitution to their students. And there's also opportunities maybe to ring bells. I know there's a bell ringing nationally at 4 o'clock on Constitution Day, which is September 17th every year. They can hold events, give programs, put up displays, and do whatever they can to commemorate and inspire their community members to protect and defend the Constitution.
Well, it makes sense to have you on, Nicole Middleman from the National Society Daughters of the American Revolution, for Constitution Week, because as we talk about every week on this show, the Second Amendment, one of our favorites. I believe every American family should have a copy of their Constitution right next to their Bible. That's my personal opinion. But thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you have a great week. Now, is next week's planning for you, Mark? Are you headed to D.C. for that? Is that
no,
why you're there?
No, we're going to D.C. for my show next week for an immigration conference, which
oh,
kind of plays
bad.
In. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
well, kind of.
If
yeah,
you're going to immigrate in, you need to take the citizen test where you have to study the Constitution.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we'll be up there next Wednesday and Thursday, in fact, in D.C. So
exciting.
Well,
all right, Nicole, thank
DC,
you so much.
Stop by 1776 D Street and see our Memorial Continental Hall, which is in the same block of buildings with Constitution Hall. And the only building out there specifically to commemorate the Constitution.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And we'll market the secret handshake and the secret tour of the facility.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but he can make an effort to read the inscription. On the pediment, it reads, Constitution Hall, a memorial to that immortal document, the Constitution of the United States, in which are incorporated the principles of freedom, equality, and justice for which our forefathers strove. And this is important to everyone.
Nice. And I'll have a middleman with me, so maybe that'll make a difference.
Yeah, I don't think that helps.
Yeah. Nicole Middleman.
That might get you locked out.
Yeah,
get
that's true.
That.
And she knows that personally. Yeah. Nicole Middleman, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Have a good day.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you soon. That's good stuff.
And what is that website one more time?
BAR.org.
Bye, sweetheart. You're loved.
Bye.
Love you, bye.
Yeah, they don't have Sons of the Star Wars Revolution, do they, Carl?
That's like the you can Rebel join. Alliance, Mark.
Oh, the Rebel Alliance. I should have known that. Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, I have reconnected with a dear friend of mine from the Concord Lions Club, and they've got an appointment for anybody that loves to go to see Dr. Green, Mark Cox. They've got a golf tournament coming up through the Lions Club. We're going to talk to my buddy Ken Bartels next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox, Carl Middleman, and this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory featuring Mantis X. You may have heard about it or seen it online. You want to experience it. You want to get it for your weapon for improving your shooting, and I mean by a lot, without wasting ammo at the range. Just go to Razorback Armory and go experience it. They'll show you how it works. It's so easy, and you can prove your shooting. And they also have a great deal on the P365 right now. RazorbackArmory.com is where you start. Get their address and go in and see them. Tell them Bo sent you.
So does that work for golf? Like, would it improve my shot for golf? Mantic,
you know,
Mantic X?
Without losing the balls? Yeah, you don't want to lose the balls. I have done that virtual, the big movie screen, and you hit the screen with the ball. I've done that, and that's why I stay off the golf course.
Oh, like at Dave and Buster's.
Kind of like that. I did it at the Legends. They've got one in their basement. Oh. You know, and I've been to 3 golf tournaments in the last 3 weeks, and I don't play golf. I need to buy a set of clubs. I love going to the driving range. I love that, but I just don't have the temperament for the game.
If you've been to 3 golf tournaments, what did you do if you didn't golf? Drink?
Oh, yeah, kiss babies, shake hands, welcome people, MC stuff. But everybody's having a great time, and I'm just like a lump, and I'm like, I need to get into this game.
You should get the clubs out. If you're out there chopping wood, I mean, it's a similar motion. I'm just kidding. Every golf coach in listening is going, no, don't say that.
Yeah,
it's like
right?
saying if you're a baseball player, you're going to have trouble adjusting your swing to golf. I have seen evidence of that, but, you know.
How many times do you get to play in a year, would you say?
Maybe some in a good year, a dozen, right?
Okay.
Probably less than that this year.
Basketball players are allegedly really good golfers because, you know, Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley.
Well, they're just great athletes. They got great eye-hand coordination, muscle memory. All that stuff plays into it. It's good stuff.
And an affinity for a cold beer every once in a while, if you want to.
And gambling.
So this next guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, ironically, could be a guest, maybe should be a sponsor of this show, because you may need to go rent an excavator or a dingo or some kind of equipment. He actually works and manages out at Rental Supply. There's like locations all over the state. But I ran into him when I was picking up an auger with a buddy of mine. And we're not talking about rental equipment. We are talking about the Concord Village Lions. Ken Bartels is a dear friend for many years now, and I'm actually going to be speaking at Sam's Steakhouse for the Lions here in a couple of months, and I'm looking forward to that. But he told me that they have a golf tournament coming up this coming Monday. So, Ken, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.
The Lions, you are the president of the Concord Lions, and you've been doing this golf tournament for a long time, and it's Monday, and we're still possibly looking for some golfers. Maybe Mark would jump in the game and play.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, we are. This is our 38th annual event coming up this Monday, the 19th. So we're looking for sponsorship, participation, anything along those lines to help support this this great event that we're getting ready to have.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a long time. I'm sure you've got it down to a science. Tell us what it's all about. Obviously, it's a fundraiser that you do. Do you select a different charity every year, or where does the money go?
Well, we have a handful of charities. So yeah, this event's been going on for a long time. This is one of many events that our particular club, the Concord Village Lions Club, you know, does each year. We do a couple of fishing tournaments and multiple other events. And this one, the Memorial Golf, we've been doing it a long time. What happens is, you know, all the proceeds that are raised from this event go to support the Lions Club charities, both on a national and international level, but a lot of charities on a local level as well. And we have a committee within our organization that we, you know, we vet and choose different charities that are in need and basically allocate that funding from that event, you know, to those local. And it's a lot of, again, a lot of local charities are benefited from this organization.
Well, so, congratulations to you, because as I read here, it says, you've raised over $800,000 over the years for local charities. That is impressive.
Yeah, it's a neat group of guys, and so this again being our 38th year doing it, you know that's a cumulative total for this event that we've had the good fortune of generating though, you know, that kind of funding for just a lot of good people.
That's so. A long time. I mean, Bo Matthews was like a baby 38 years ago. So I mean, think about how long that is.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, Guns N' Hoses is one of those charities. Camp Hope, which I'm you know, dearly engrossed in what they're doing, is a great organization. Support Dogs, Ronald McDonald House. But Tapawingo. Mark, have you played at Tapawingo before?
I have played at Tapawingo once, I believe, at a golf tournament. Yeah,
it was very nice. Where this golf tournament is. They're 38th. It's Monday. If you can, you know, call in sick. 10 a.m. is check in. 11 a.m. is lunch. Ken Bartels is our guest. He's the president of the Concord Lions. Where can people find out more and maybe get signed up for this event or sponsor, like you had mentioned?
Well, I'll tell you what, they can on our website. We've got our website, which is concordvillagelions.org. That would be the first step. But again, as far as reaching out to, we have a couple of co-chairs of this event. One of them is kind of our local St. Louis legend, Bill Siebold, which a lot of people know that name from boat racing, the Champ Boat Series that used to be out at George Winter Park. And then eventually up at Creepcourt Park. I mean, Bill's kind of a local, he's just a local legend, much like you, Bo, a local legend, if
true.
You will.
And this is a true
and,
thing.
And he's a member of our Concord Village Lions Club. But But again, I've got a number that I could share that, again, you know, just pick up the phone and call them for any more information, sponsorship, anything that anybody wants to get involved in this. And I know it's short notice with the Monday event, but anything's appreciated. So.
And everybody wants to look for a reason to take the day off. They got a noon tee off time, shotgun start, dinner and cocktails. So, Mark, you and I could just crash it for that if you don't have time to go.
I think you guys should. I think we should plan it. Let's do it. Let's get you guys out there.
Here's what you need to remember about me. I work from 5 to 9 a.m. every morning. So a 10 a.m. check-in and an 11 o'clock tee off is perfect for my schedule.
Come on out, Mark.
These golf tournaments are out there. I don't have to take the day off. I can work and play. See, Bo, how that works?
Amazing. Yeah, nice. Amazing. Ken, great to run into you. I believe it was divine appointment because actually Ken is going to hook us up with somebody to talk about the fall Big Bass tournament that's going on in October for next week's show. So thanks for that, Ken. But thanks for doing what you do with the Lions. I was actually amazed, Mark, because my dad's a Lion in Jersey, and he always talks about the vision stuff that they do. But here in the Concord Village Lions, they do so much more. And they, you know, they spread the wealth around that the money they raise. So congratulations on all the hard work you've done as president with Concord Lions there, Ken.
Oh, I appreciate that. We've got a great group of guys, and this just happened to have the luxury of serving in this role for this term, and I appreciate it. We've got a stellar group of people that are involved in this organization.
Yeah, lionsclub.org is the website of the Lions International. Just to tell people more about it briefly, if you don't mind, Ken.
Yeah, it's so the Lions, you know, that particular website, if you go on there, there are so many great chapters of Lions clubs around the area, you know, obviously national and international, but I mean, we partner with a lot of our other Lions clubs, the Washington Lions clubs, House Springs. I mean, we have a great network, and all these individual clubs do all these great events. And if people are looking for an organization to get involved in that, really makes a difference, you know, not just on a national or international level, but on a local, I would encourage them to go to that website. There's a spot on there where they can find clubs that are near them relative to where they work or where they live. And, you know, just reach out to somebody within that club. You know, there's contact names within those that, you know, even myself included, if you're, you know, I live in, my joke with me is that I live in St. Charles and I drive by 37 Lions clubs to go to the Concord Village. And, you know, and it just has to do with, again, just like you just said a little bit ago, Bo, a divine connection that happened 21 years ago. And, you know, I'm proud to do it. And again, proud of all the clubs around us, too, that we got a great network of, other clubs that we're affiliated with, that we do a lot of great things together.
Well, Ken Bartles, thank you very much. ConcordVillageLions.org if you're still interested in golfing on the 19th, on Monday, out at Tapawinga. We appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks all for having me on the show. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Love helping out a good cause whenever we can, don't we, Bo?
You know, when we visited in person at that rental supply place, we were loading up the auger, and I asked him just randomly, I was like, so is it hard to get younger members to join? And he said, you know, it is, like the VFW, all these different organizations, all the gray hairs are there, but there's a lot of young people that, you know, got the energy and the power and the connections. I'll tell you, it's a great excuse to get away from the house and go do something good with an organization. I just say that as a tease, but if you're looking for a great organization, this may be the one you want to join and be a part of it.
Well, you got to hope people will check it out. I worry when I see those organizations, not the Lions necessarily, but some of them struggling for membership to find younger members. You have to wonder how much. You have to wonder how much social media has replaced some of that. Remember?
Wow.
Because years ago, you joined whatever it might happen to be, whatever group, as a means of socializing. And these days, a lot of people make those connections through social media. But this is a way to do it face-to-face, and there's just really no replacement for that.
And it's usually a great cold beer and a, you know, a group of people that are, you know, well, good food. I mean, I'm going to be doing this talk for them, I think November, at Sam's Steakhouse. I haven't been to Sam's Steakhouse in years. So, you know, looking forward to that. Good food, good people.
And Bo works for food, in case anybody's wondering. So,
dang right I do. I got the cardboard sign to prove it.
Just feed him. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that.
You bet. Just putting a plug in for you there, buddy.
He's all a right. Big boy.
Hey, before we go, I want to give a quick thank you to my wife, Nicole Hansel Middleman from the O'Fallon chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Thank you, honey, for being on with us. And enjoy Constitution Week, everyone.
All right. Hey, I tell you what, you folks have a great weekend. We're glad you joined us on Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.